Brother Steve's up here giving away our age. Kids, we're old enough to remember life before Facebook. So, yeah, it was about, I guess, 12 years I was up in Mansfield, 12, 13 years. I think I was pushing 13. So, you know, I was reminiscing as I was driving up here, all the years that I was looking forward to this conference to get to go south for warmer weather. And this time, we're going north and thinking, why did they schedule this thing in the middle of winter? Because it had been 90-something degrees for about 3 or 4 days down there, and it did cool off a little bit, but it feels a lot different coming from down there up here. Do appreciate the prayers. We did get moved, we're not unpacked 100% yet, but we're working on it. Appreciate the opportunity to come back for the meeting, today, and then Lord willing, be preaching tomorrow as well. It's always a blessing to be back here, and it's a little ways off, but I would also invite you all to come down to be with us. Lord willing, we'll be having a meeting on June 26th, and we plan to have four preachers: Brother John Pruitt, Brother Paul Jackson, Brother Sam Wilson, and Brother Troy Shepherd. And we're planning on having that meeting that day because it'll mark the 25th anniversary of the organization of the church there at Sovereign Grace Baptist in Fort Tents, Georgia. So mark it on your calendars. Come down and be with us if you can. Pray for us either way, and we'll appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to Numbers 21. Numbers chapter 21. And I do bring you greetings from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Hortense, Georgia. Interestingly enough, I showed the program down there, and the only preacher that they knew besides me was Brother Doug and Brother Justin Meyer, because Brother Justin had been down there to help me move, and he preached for us last.
We did all that talking and didn't have it on.
That's good. My time starts now. Sweet. anyway, Brother Justin had preached for us while he was down there, and so we miss him, but certainly glad that. Glad that my sister got sick before she got here, in case she's contagious. And I can say things like that because it's my sister. But I do hope she gets to feeling better. And we do miss Brother Justin. Thankful for the messages we've heard thus far. And so, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin reading verse 1. It says, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. The Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Much can be gleaned from this text. And as a matter of fact, when I was praying over what to preach here for this meeting, the Lord laid on my heart to preach from verse number 4. The title of my message is Reminder for Those Discouraged Because of the Way. And been a couple of sermons that have kind of come really, really close to this message. And I thought there for a little bit maybe I should switch gears and preach something different, but this is really what the Lord laid on my heart, and so I'm gonna trust Him that this is what was needed for today. Sometimes we divide messages up. We talk about doctrinal messages. We talk about practical messages. But the reality is that all messages are practical. What you believe is going to lead you to do something with it. And so when you're preaching doctrinal, there's something practical behind it. And when we look at this, we want to consider the similarities that we can learn from the people of Israel being discouraged because of the way. Of course, they were on a journey. We can look at it and think about our journey of life. There's much that we could be discouraged about right now in this world, in our own lives. There's this, if you turn on the news and watch it for 5 minutes, you get pretty discouraged if you're not careful. Still talking about coronavirus and the things that are going on with that. Gas prices are up. Lots of speculation. Joe Biden's in the White House. Lots of things that can be discouraging for the people of God and the people in this country and on our journey. We think about life and consider our own things that are going on. Maybe you've got some personal issues that aren't on the news. They're not headliners in the newspaper or in the on the nightly news, but there are things that are going on that could be discouraging. Maybe you've got some news from the doctor, or maybe you've got some pain or trouble, financial issues or marital problems. The people was much discouraged because of the way. Perhaps even as you've come into this meeting today, it's no secret, attendance is down. Church attendance apparently is down all over the place, according to the national news. I saw a big study about that. I think that maybe a lot of y'all seen it too. Churches are disbanding. I mean, even sometimes things that shouldn't discourage us do. Down there in Mississippi, where Brother Joe Sitters is at now, they pulled out some reel-to-reel stuff. Now, Brother Steve, I'm not that old. I don't remember reel-to-reel. I know. There's some of it back there. But they pulled out some reel-to-reel sermons and put them on the internet. So I listened to him, Brother John Gilpin. And man, those sermons sounded crystal clear. And I listened to those sermons, and they were good sermons. But you know what popped in my head as I was listening to them? You hardly hear sermons preaching like that anymore. And that can be discouraging. But then I was encouraged, because there's much we can learn from those old preachers, even though they're dead. And I thank God that those were recorded and then put on the internet. So who has a reel-to-reel player? I think Brother Sam Wilson has one, but he's probably the only one in the world that's got one of those. Driving up here, I looked at the map and I thought, boy, I should make it in at 2 a.m. And I didn't get here until about 9:30. That's discouraging. That's real discouraging. I mean, out there on Interstate 95 and see brake lights. What is going on here? The people of Israel were discouraged because of the way. Listen to those three things. First of all, the people's reaction to discouragement. Secondly, we want to notice God's dealings with those who murmured. And then thirdly, we want to notice the cure. So first of all, the people's reaction to discouragement. In their journeys, the children of Israel experienced lots of trouble. Now, as you study the children of Israel, you'll find that much of their problems was brought on by their own actions. And the reality of it is, if we're honest with ourselves, the reason for most of our problems are staring right back at us when we look in the mirror. Same as what the children of Israel's problems were. You see, and we can be thankful about something. God's done writing His book. So you and I aren't going to be front and center for future saints to read after in His inspired Word. But let me tell you, if he weren't done with it, and he was writing about us, our story would probably be uglier than what the children of Israel's story is. That's just the truth of it. Look at what happened here. As God was with them and blessing them and things were going well, and then all of a sudden, boom, they hit Isn't that just like us? Traveling along, things are going good, and then all of a sudden, brake lights. Oh, and the whole world, it's over. What are we going to do? Some inconvenience, some problem. You and I were journeying through this life on our way to heaven. As we go on our way, we're going to come to some trials, troubles, tribulations. If you've not come into any troubles, trials, or problems, just wait a little bit. You'll get there. In fact, in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. When they preached the gospel to that city, and they taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium, to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. In my Bible, I've got that highlighted, but I've got the words "we must" and "much" underlined. You see, God has not told us that we're going to get to heaven on a feather bed. He's not promised that it's all going to be a life of ease. In fact, we're told here that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But you know, as we look at this and examine this verse, he says here that confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. Encouraging them. Exhorting them. To continue in the faith. What faith? Well, Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, one of the things that I find in the scriptures, and as I study history, and I love to study history, I love to read, and I love to listen to old sermons. I love to read old sermons, whether it's listening to Brother Gilpin or my grandfather's old sermons, or going back and reading Bunyan or Owen or Manton or any of those fellows. You know what I find? I find that the faith hasn't changed. God's Word hasn't changed. And brother, you were talking about the good old days. You know what made the good old days the good old days? Is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The faith that they had is the same faith that we've got. The doctrine that those guys stood for is the same that we stand for. So we are to encourage one another to continue in the faith. Oh yes, we've got problems. We've got big problems. No question of it. But those previous generations also had big problems. You realize that there would be no Pilgrim's Progress if it weren't for the fact that Bunyan was put in jail. That there were diseases and pestilences and overbearing governments much worse than what we've got. Now, it may be coming. But I'm telling you that we've got some great examples to look back to. We also find in God's Word that we are warned. We're given some bad examples too. And we're encouraged, though, to keep on keeping on. The God of the valley is the same God in the mountaintop. And the God who was with the previous generations is the same God who's with us now. The God who did great things before can do great things today. Now here's the kicker, though. As we consider these things, we must understand that those previous generations that did great things, they weren't sitting on the couch waiting for God to do some great thing. There's responsibility that we have. So we see that we're to encourage one another to keep the faith, to stick with the stuff, if you will, to keep on keeping on. Because here's the thing, through some of these trials that we go through, there's some who don't keep on keeping on. And indeed, we've seen it already in the past year. Out of fear of a disease, some have quit going to church, and I dare say they'll never show up again unless the Lord intervenes and gets a hold of them. But we must encourage one another and encourage those who have quit coming. As long as they've got breath, there's still hope. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We must learn from the examples found in the Scriptures. And so, when we look at our text here in Numbers, look at what happened with these people. In Numbers 21, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, discouragements will come, no question of it. And you read through the Scriptures and you'll find time and time again these things happening. But where these folks went wrong is verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." They began to murmur against God and against God's man. When you look at discouragement and you look at encouragement, the Bible is a great source for encouragement. In fact, if you read through the book of Psalms, you'll find many times the psalmist begins in a very discouraged way, but by the end of the psalm, you find him very much encouraged. In fact, I like to call it, it's not original with me, but I like to call the Psalms God's medicine cabinet. Certainly it is. Listen, sometimes we get discouraged, and our problem is that we dwell on that discouragement rather than going to the Lord and His Word, rather than going to others who can encourage us and help us out, our brothers and sisters in Christ. These folks, they turned against God and against Moses, and that's what happens far too often. People get discouraged and they say, well, I just can't. I'm not coming to church. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to nobody. They shut their Bibles and they turn on the TV. You try to call them on the phone. Try to go visit them. They don't want to talk. Over in the book of Job, chapter 1, I don't want time to get away from me too badly. But in Job, chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 here, Job had some things happen to him that would be very discouraging. We're privy to some things that happened that Job wasn't. But in verse 20 and 21, he says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." I mean, his whole world fell apart. And this was his response. He didn't say, "The Lord gave, but the devil hath taken away." He didn't say, "The Lord gave, and the Chaldeans..." That's what verse 17. He didn't say, "The Chaldeans took away." He didn't murmur against God. He recognized the hand of God in all things. We are Sovereign Grace Baptists. And as Sovereign Grace Baptists, we say that we believe the sovereignty of God. I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. I believe so much in the sovereignty of God that I believe that when I caught that coronavirus back in October, that was no accident. That was not chance, luck, or fate. I believe God predestined that to happen. That God either predestined it to happen or allowed it to happen, but it was part of His sovereign plan. I believe there were some lessons in that experience for me. And as I examine it and look at it, I believe that it was prepared especially for me. That I caught it on that time. When we look at things this way, I believe that our murmuring and complaining would stop. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, of course, Job didn't have access to this. Neither did those folks there in our text. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, I was preaching through the book of Romans back in 2019, early 2020, and I spent about 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks on Romans 8:28, but it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So much we could say about this, but I just want to say, when something happens in our life, knee-jerk reaction sometimes is to say, why in the world is this happening to me? But we'd be better off looking at it from a scriptural point of view and examining it, why is this happening for me? You see, oh, God has done so much for us. So many good things for us, you know, and there's some trials, troubles, things that happen in our lives, but why should we murmur and complain? In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he brought up the Old Testament saints there. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 9, 10, and 11. Look what he says here. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, these things are written for us so that we can learn from them. And he says, don't murmur like they murmured. Were destroyed of the destroyer. Over in the book of Jude, verses 15 and 16. Verse 14, it says, And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Commenting on this passage, Thomas Brooks said, A murmurer is an ungodly man. He is an ungodlike man. No man on earth is more unlike God than the murmurer. And therefore, no wonder if when Christ comes to execute judgment, he deals so severely and terribly with him. We ought to want to be like Christ, as was already mentioned. And like Christ, we must think about what did he do, and what has he done for us? And what pains and troubles and trials did he go through for you and me? And oh, why should we think that our lives should be a life of ease? Well, we're out of time, but very quickly, we see there is a cure for discouragement. And the murmuring that often goes with it. In Numbers 21, I don't want to leave this out. Numbers 21, verses 7 through 9, it says, Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord, He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So very quickly, I just want to say, the cure for discouragement murmuring that often goes with it is we see prayer in here. We see looking to Jesus. And we see repentance, a confession of sin. There is cure for these things. And I believe that when we go through a trial, we can go through it. We can go through it well. But we can also go through it not so well. But either way, there is great lesson for us to be found in the Scriptures. And even in an example like this. And ultimately, we find that in all our troubles and trials, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need to have our eyes fixed on Him. Oh, beloved, it's good to know what's going on in the world, but don't keep your eyes fixed on that. Fix your eyes on the Lord, and He will help us through all our troubles, our trials, and when we fall, we slip, He'll help us there too. May God add a blessing to His Word.